Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Showtime.
How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, rolling in hour number two. The Hall of Fame expands by, well, four, and then, what, two from the Veterans Committee? I think it's all together, but it's quite a class that's going in this year, Shane. Is this the second time in 3 years that we've had four? It's not like we usually have this many going in. But
let me see here. We've got four other times there's been four.
Mm-hmm.
The only other year with more was the inaugural class in 1936. That makes sense. Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, Christy Mathewson, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner. And you're
okay,
right.
It's tough to beat that class.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say that.
So for that reason only, there should never be five inducted because you're going to be kind of not compared to, but that'll get brought up again. Yeah, there have been four players elected last year, making this first time in history we've seen four players elected in two straight years.
So there you go.
Mo Rivera with his 652 saves and 42 postseason saves. Roy Halladay, who is an eight-time All-Star, two-time Cy Young Award winner, led or tied for his league lead in complete games seven times. Of course, dying November 2 years ago. Edgar Martinez, this was his 10th and final year on the ballot. Seven-time All-Star, five-time Silver Slugger. He may be the most controversial one of the bunch if you're into the well, he just DH'd most of his career argument. And then Mike Mussina, who I thought probably should have been in a while ago. This is his sixth year on the ballot, five-time All-Star, seven-time Gold Glover, if you're into that, 2,813 strikeouts. This is a broken record. You and I are both in agreement that Major League Baseball Hall of Famers – along with football Hall of Fame, it's like, man, you can make an argument for a hell of a lot of guys.
Oh, you sure
to
could
get into these halls, but as I always say, it's a Hall of Fame, not a Hall of Pretty Good. But I think they got it right this year.
Keep in mind that baseball's been doing this since 1936, 37 for the purposes of what I'm about to describe. There have only been 56 players that have gone in on the first ballot. Rivera and Halladay are number 55 and 56. Think about that. Over the course of time and the number of players that are now in Cooperstown, but only 56 of them have gone in on the first ballot. That's how hard it is to get enough to get in there on that first ballot. Talked about Edgar Martinez. It's been, 10 years for him? It's been 6 years for Mike Mussina. But and then Mo Rivera is the first one to have done it unanimously. So baseball's Hall of Fame, to me, is the – and I don't know. I got to be careful because I know many would consider me – to think of myself as baseball guy. I think it's the best of the Halls of Fame because it's hard to get in, and it should be hard to get in. There aren't many guys in baseball's Hall of Fame that you have arguments over.
But here's the rub with the Baseball Hall of Fame. Yeah, it is super hard to get in on your first year, but how often is it because of get-off-my-lawn voters that purposely leave guys off?
It's hard
to quantify that, but that's a deal. That's a thing.
Well, they broke through one of those with Mo Rivera last year getting on being named on every ballot.
Yeah.
And that had never happened before.
That was part of my question yesterday about Mike Trout. Is he the next guy to get in on 100% of the vote or the ballots, I mean?
Who knows what happens in the next 6-7 years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How could you not vote for Mike Trout?
I don't know. And since Rivera has broken through that glass ceiling, hopefully, and who knows how many no-brainer Hall of Famers we're going to see in the next 10, 15, 20 years, but Griffey, Seaver, and Ryan couldn't get 100% of the vote.
Nope.
But we're kind of maybe getting off track here a little bit. But these four, including Roy Halladay, who some might intimate that his untimely passing helped kind of expedite his induction into the Hall of Fame. And
I don't think that's unfair.
I will listen to that, I guess, at least.
I'd listen to that. All right, so he gets in on the first try instead of the second or third or fourth. I mean, clearly a Hall of Famer. I guess that there's a protocol that writers still like to hold out there. And Edgar Martinez is a good example. But Edgar Martinez, I mean, is just going to – all he's going to do is predate Big Poppy going in.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get DHs into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
So, I mean – but no.
When you're at your position – a 5-time silver slugger, even though your position is hitter, you're still one of the best in baseball, and especially when you do it five times. You know, it's not an unwritten rule, but it's a decent rule of thumb for Major League Hall of Famers. The measuring stick you use, was he the best at his position for any extended period of time? And all four of these guys fit that bill.
That's right. There are two guys that you would immediately jump at, best DHs of all time. Edgar Martinez and Big Poppy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would, you know, maybe 10 years from now, we'll have a couple of others.
Harold Baines to a lesser degree.
Yeah, to a lesser degree. But Harold Baines played a lot. I mean, I'd have to go look.
He played a million years, dude.
Yeah, he played so
long. He played a
long
time, yeah.
Yeah,
and
played a long time.
Being a DH helped that, along with Edgar Martinez.
Exactly. So, I mean, Edgar Martinez was a hitting machine.
Mm-hmm.
Dude could really, really hit. And that's why he's going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, nobody argues with any of these four, I don't think.
I hope not.
If you're going to argue about Edgar Martinez simply because he's a DH, then you're arguing the fact that he's a DH.
He's better metrically than David Ortiz or Harold Baines.
Right.
I mean, most war among primary position DH since 1973, Edgar Martinez 68.4. Big Poppy, 55.3 WAR.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, that's not to say that Ortiz is not a Hall of Famer, because he is. He's going to be. Edgar Martinez wrote the book on how to DH, period.
Yeah, exactly. But David Ortiz also had tremendous postseason experience and success, which helps him a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
He was a clutch player. You know, we value that. Should value that anyway. Edgar Martinez didn't get a chance to do that as much with the Seattle Mariners.
And then there's...
Although he played on one of the best regular season teams, I mean, you can make a pretty good argument that that group with the Mariners that won, what, 116 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
That was a damn good team. So.
And then there's.
No, I like this group. I think this will be a. The Halladay, my understanding is that his wife is going to do the speech.
He's got at least one kid capable of pitching in on a speech too, because I think we heard from him within the last couple of years after his dad passed.
Mm-hmm. So that will be emotional. Rivera obviously is going to be very interesting. He's a very thoughtful guy who's very respectful of the game, and I think all of them are going to have different, very interesting elements. I love speeches at the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite things each and every year. It's good stuff. I've only been to one. I went to George Brett's induction. And was really struck afterwards by what it means to these guys. And maybe they don't think that it's going to mean that much, and they become surprised by once they get there, especially if they've never been there before. Then they get there, and you get the hair raising on your back, and, you know, because of the history of the game and the way that you're – you know, that you're intertwined with it and you're part of a very elite few. Hell, you're part of an elite few anyway, just reaching the big leagues. But then when you become a Hall of Famer, you're set aside in a very different way. And I think a lot of these guys are surprised, even after the excitement of getting into the Hall of Fame, once they're around it, realizing really what it means. So that's always kind of fun to revisit with guys afterwards. So,
and because there are so few that get so much of the vote, like Rivera, Griffey Jr., Seaver, Ryan, mm-hmm. Brett, there's a certain amount of excitement, and it comes through in their speeches. Not to say that Mariano Rivera is not going to be excited and not going to deliver a good speech, but when you're talking about Mike Mussina and Edgar Martinez, who were getting toward the end of their run on the ballot, and in Martinez' case, the last year on the ballot, you know these guys are like the proverbial kid in the candy store when they're up there giving their speeches.
Well, and they're the ones that are really interesting because they've had enough time go by and enough doubt as to whether or not they would get in that their perspective over the course of time changes probably a great deal, and the meaning of what it means and being recognized by the curators of the game, and or at least of the hall. I think that Edgar Martinez and Mike Mussina probably have a very different view than Mo Rivera does, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
Just simply because of the time that's gone by. What it means to them. I think they've had probably more of a chance to process that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't understand what took – I was championing Mike Mussina for a couple of years now. I don't understand what took so long. He was 100, almost 120 – yeah, he was 120-ish games over 500. Mm-hmm. Five-time All-Star, seven-time Gold Glove. Finished in the top five of the Cy Young balloting six times. And he is sixth among all pitchers in WAR since the DH era. The others, Burt Blyleven, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux, those are the ones with a better WAR than Mike Mussina.
That's pretty good company, man.
I'd say so. And
that's pretty good company.
You know, say what you want to about the metrics and WAR, but that's the worth of a guy to his team in a particular season or cumulative over time. And it's one that everybody trusts now. So, I mean, that's kind of a foolproof way to help you find out what a Hall of Famer looks like. I was looking at the numbers with Mariano Rivera, of course, 42 postseason saves. The second most postseason saves behind Mariano Rivera's 42 is Brad Lidge's 18.
Wow.
That's really? Second all-time in postseason saves. Brad Lidge, 18.
Wow.
And Mo Rivera had 42.
I mean, it's sick.
His whip in his career was exactly one. That's walks plus hits per inning pitched. The only guy that had a lower whip ever is a guy that pitched in the dead ball era. Addie Joss.
Clayton Kershaw, a pretty good pitcher,
Clayton
by the
Kershaw,
way.
1.01. Chris Sale, 1.03. Minimum 1,000 innings. And those two guys are starters. So now you can start getting into how many votes is Kershaw and Sale going to get if their career arc continues the way it is. But kind of interesting look at some of the numbers that these guys put up. But I think I think we're both in agreement that these four guys –
oh, my gosh. I like this class.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like this class. I think it's really cool. So looking forward to that. Shane, you know, this happened over the weekend, but did you see the Atlantic League finally produced its first stolen first base?
Steal of first. Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is hell going to freeze over at some point?
I think maybe it will.
I think it might happen. I don't know.
Robot umpires and stealing first base and moving the mound back?
Yeah. Please don't let this happen in Major League Baseball. It irritates me even at independent league baseball. But
do you recall what your feeling was when you heard that instant replay would be allowed in Major League Baseball? Do you remember how you felt?
Yeah, I was probably grumpy about it. But what was it, Dennis? A week ago, when we were talking about this, was talked about. I mean, he called his shot, said it's coming.
Yeah, he did.
You know, they're electronically going to call balls and strikes. I guess there's a certain degree of inevitability that comes to pass. I mean, I'm fine with. I'm okay with instant replay on a more of a limited basis.
Don't you feel like they've kind of streamlined it? It's okay.
Yes, they've done a pretty good. They've done a pretty good job.
You don't notice it as much anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you know, when you watch at games, they move it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's within call is made, and then it's probably within 4 or 5 seconds. They're checking very, very quickly.
Well, you got your video guy watching the game in there. I mean, he's got his finger on the button. Yeah.
Sure. So they've done a pretty good job streamlining it. It's not intrusive. Not like the NFL. It's intrusive.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And ridiculous is overstating it. But it's an intrusion in the NFL. Not so much in Major League Baseball. Most of the time. But it's fine. So I'm neither here nor there on it. But I would prefer not to have balls and strikes called electronically.
I don't think it's going to happen at the big league level. And I don't know exactly who's going to vote on this for or against, but you got a bunch of – talk about grumpy old men. You got a bunch of grumpy old men umpires, and you always have and you always will in the big leagues. And I don't know about that. That's a huge – step. That's a huge move to have automated.
Well, that's emasculating an umpire, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. Balls and strikes are the ultimate sign of manhood for a major league umpire.
And some would agree it's part of the beauty of the game. I mean, this is a judgment call every time a pitch comes in, whether it's crossing an imaginary rectangle strike zone. And we see it virtually every night on our screens, how close the guy got. And sometimes he gives you an inch off the plate. Sometimes he doesn't give you that call up. It happened last night in the Royals-White Sox game. That home plate umpire.
No, it happens in every game you watch.
Wouldn't give balls
down.
That's part of
the game. It's kind of the part of the game. I don't mean to get into the whole you got to make adjustments and this, that, and the other thing. That kind of give and take is part of the game. Pitchers and umpires have a unique relationship. Catchers, umpires have a unique relationship. Hitters and umpires, I'm talking about guys behind the plate, have a very unique relationship. That's three guys on the field right there, very key guys at any one time that have this incredibly very different relationship with an umpire. I'm not talking about going out and having a beer. I'm just talking about how you relate during an at-bat. That's part of baseball that I love.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the lesser experienced hitters will let one borderline call affect their whole at-bat, and the veterans are able to flush it and move on, even if they had a perceived bad call against them. Eric, you got the last word of the segment here on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. What do you got?
All right, guys. Hey, Bruce, that's old-time baseball purist. That game is going away. The days of the romanticizing of that is going to go away. Their technology is going to take over, like Dennis said the other day.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you're going. I mean, look at they're going to the netting around the field, and pretty soon.
Well, that doesn't bother me as much.
I understand that, but I'm talking about the old time baseball that we knew. That's going away. It's going to be sanitized. It's going to be technologized and art the romantic baseball of Joe DiMaggio and the Yankees and Ted Williams and all that is going to go away. It's going to be a computerized version.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay. I hear you, Eric. You're not alone. There's a lot of people that feel that way. I still get great joy, and I mean great joy, in going to the ballpark. And sitting down, whether I'm covering a game, whether I'm just there to enjoy a game. And Shane, I don't know about you, but I'm still not bothered by the technological intrusions and things that are happening in baseball. I can still go and enjoy a game of baseball for all the reasons that I've always enjoyed it. Pace of the game, conversation with whomever I'm with, the subtleties of strategy in the game and all of the things that go with it, to me, are still alive. So, I mean, give me 3.5 hours to go while away my time. I'm going to a baseball game. So, I hope it never changes. I really do. I mean, it's going to change. I just hope it doesn't make such wholesale changes that it makes guys like me wonder about it. Anyway, all right. Let's get to it. The Big 12 is getting their media days going. A lot of conversation, a lot of interesting conversation. Some maybe not as interesting as it was uncomfortable. We'll explain that as it relates to Les Miles and the University of Kansas as we continue in a moment. Shane and Bruce rolling with you on this Tuesday edition. Jad Chambers takes us to break.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce and Shane on KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.